It is the last Sunday of Lent. I know some of y'all are happy about that if you gave up caffeine or sugar. You're excited. You're ready to follow Jesus out of that wilderness. I know that some are maybe excited about it being the last Sunday of Lent, but because it is the last Sunday of Lent, because it is Palm Sunday and we are anticipating the resurrection of our Lord, it is the last Sunday of our Lenten sermon series, The Shift. Somebody say The Shift.
The Shift.
The Shift. If you haven't been here, we have been reflecting on this concept of the shift that God desires to shift us into the next year. Not for Lent to be a temporary time where we give up a bad habit or embrace a good habit, but truly a transformation from the inside out that moves us into the next level of our living. And so today I wanted to reflect on a passage where Jesus talks to us about the levels of our living, the places, the gears in which we operate. You know, we said last week that first Jesus gave the instructions to everyone, the general instructions. That was the Sermon on the Mount. Somebody say Sermon on the Mount.
Sermon on the Mount.
And then after that, he began to heal people. He engaged in lots of healings because he knew that after the general instructions, he desires to go deeper with you and to heal you from the things that have hurt you in this life. And then it wasn't until after that that he gave the instructions to the disciples. So the general instructions, those are the principles. That's what I like to call the tweetable Jesus. The things that, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Don't judge. It's not going to work out well for your relationship. Things that everybody can get behind. Things that just are good for good living. The principles. Then he goes to the healing, which is powerful for us because some of us, before we step into truly what's next for us and doing the work that God has for us into true discipleship, following him, doing his work, there's still some healing that he needs to do in us. And then he gets into these deeper instructions, these instructions that are a little bit more mysterious. He moves from the principles, somebody say principles, to the parables. The parables. So today we're going to engage these parables that in the midst of this deeper instruction that Jesus gives to those who don't just come and hear a sermon, but who stick around after to see what else he might say, who help clean up all the blankets that people left behind, who find a boat for him to preach from, and who get to go to the mountaintop with him. These are the deeper instructions about the levels on which we live and the next level that Jesus is asking us to step up to. So if you could, please attend with me to God's word. We are in the 13th chapter of Matthew. A familiar passage, though it has struck me with new power in this season, and I pray it does for you as well. I pray that God uses it to talk to us about our lives. We're in Matthew 13, the 1st through the 9th verse, and then we're going to be moving down to the 18th through the 23rd verse. When you got to say amen.
Amen.
If you need a few minutes, say hold on. Okay, we got it. Matthew 13, 1 through 9. And it reads, "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, 'Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, and where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds, he said, fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." I want to read verse 10 as well. "Then the disciples came and asked him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' He answered, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom, but to them it has not been given.'" Skip down with me to verse 18. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. That is what is sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. When trouble comes, when persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this world, the lure of wealth, choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, as for what was sown on good soil, he says, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Sisters and brothers, our Lord is telling us today, even the most beautiful gardens start out as dirt. Come on, say it with me. Even the most beautiful gardens,
even the most beautiful gardens
start out as dirt. Amen. Please pray with me. God, we approach your word in need and expectant. Expectant, God, that you are always speaking to us. Like the sower in the parable, God, you are always dropping the seed. You are always reaching out to us, chasing us down, in fact. And so we ask that you would give us, as Jesus said, ears to hear, so we can know where you are talking to us, what places inside of us you need to shift, you need to move, what you're trying to say, what burdens you're trying to lift, God. We submit our spirits into your care in this hour. God, I pray that you would get out of me whatever might get in the way of your word coming forth, and that there might be a word that comes from you, God, a word that comes from you that can speak to the places where we are in our life, that can heal, that can deliver. God, we all get out of the way. We all put aside our nervousness. We all put aside our busyness. We all put aside the chaos of our spirits. We put aside anything else that might be on our minds or in our hearts right now. We put it aside for this moment, God. Because all week long, we've just wanted to talk to you. All week long, we have needed you. All week long, we have known that there's something that you're trying to say to us, and we long to hear it, God. So right now, we put the rest aside so we can hear what you might have to say. We love you, we need you, and we thank you. And it's in the holy name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Even the most beautiful gardens start out as dirt. Jesus is the pinnacle of good preaching. Jesus, of course, doesn't just say the word, doesn't just expound on the word or proclaim the word. Jesus is the word made flesh, as we're told. He is the word embodied. And so he is the pinnacle of good preaching. He is the word as it should be lived out in his body, as it is in his speech. Jesus is the pinnacle of powerful preaching. And as this pinnacle, he uses, as any good preacher does, familiar images to help people see the truth of their lives. Jesus is looking at this crowd. We are on Palm Sunday, where we are told that the crowds follow Jesus, but we know not everyone in the crowd was loyal till the end. Not everyone in the crowd dove into the life that Jesus was offering them. Jesus is looking at this crowd on the beach while he is on the boat. And he's looking at them, knowing in his wisdom and in his knowledge, knowing that some would go home after the sermon unchanged. And some would go home and put down their old life and pick up the one that he was instead offering. Jesus was looking at this crowd, trying to tell them the truth about their lives. And he uses these familiar images, trying to help them see what God is trying to do to them and the different ways that we relate to it. Jesus, in this parable, is telling about the different modes in which we operate and the different types of ground that we might be. He is such a good preacher. He's so powerful in what he does that maybe you, even all these thousands of years later, maybe you, when he speaks these words about the different ways that we respond to what God sows in our life, maybe even you were able to begin to locate yourself in one of the four schemas that he laid out. He's such a good preacher that he uses the image that call forth in our spirits the truth of our lives and where we are. Maybe as he talked about the road and the birds that snatch up the seed and the thorns, the cares that come up in our spirit and that threaten to choke out what God is doing, maybe you too wondered which one you are. I like to keep a tally, a secret tally of Christian tattoos. A secret tally of just when people tell me, oh, I got this tattoo, it means this and that. It's this Bible verse. I like to keep a secret tally. One, it's helpful for me as a preacher to know what are the most popular, what are the people's favorite verses. That's just helpful. But two, I find it amusing because people often think that their Christian tattoos are so original. And I'm looking at them, they're telling me, oh, this is John 3:16. I'm like, you are the first one I've ever seen. And because it's permanent, I don't tell them what I really think, because they can't go back and change it. But I find it amusing to take a secret tally of Christian tattoos and see, because people often get the same things. People, we got a lot of Romans 12:2. Be transformed, don't conform. We got a lot of John 3:6. We don't find a lot of Christian tattoos, the parable of the sower and the seed. We don't tend to gravitate toward this verse. We might, in our Bibles, it's not a feel-good passage. It's not a praises go up and the blessings come down type of verse. And in our Bibles, we might see it and look at it perplexed and maybe flip to, let me get to the one where he helps the guy get up after a long time. Let me get to the one where he multiplies the fish and the loaves. I need some multiplication in my life. Let me flip to that one. We often don't gravitate toward this verse. You won't see anybody with this and a tattoo. We don't gravitate toward this verse, I'm convinced, often because when we read these words and when we hear Jesus speak these words to us, we often feel frustrated in our own lives. We feel that perhaps we're not bearing the fruit that we would like to bear, that our lives don't look on the outside like the powerful things that we want them to be. We feel like there's not enough results coming from the things that God is doing in our lives. We feel like we're not productive enough, like our life we don't have a lot to show for the work and the lives that we are living. And so often we conclude when we read this passage that if I'm not bearing the fruit that I think I should be bearing, maybe I'm not the good soil. This passage often makes us feel that we're in the category that we're not happy about. And so we flip to the one about the multiplication, because everybody's happy about multiplication. We move on because we often don't like the type of soil that we feel we are. But I submit to you today that this is not about different types of people. I contend and I feel, I'm convinced that this passage is not about different types of people that are immutably one way and that's who you are and that's why you're not bearing fruit. And Jesus is just saying those people will not get it. I submit to you that this is not about different types of people. If it were, why would Jesus have preached every schema? If he were talking to those who would never change and the paths that would always be paths and would never be good soil, why would he lay it out? He would just say, well, those people can go home. Let me talk to the ones who have potential. But he didn't say that. He laid out every schema for us. So I submit to you that this is not about different types of people. Rather, I believe it is about different modes in which we operate. Different spiritual spaces that we choose to occupy. Different gears in which we drive the cars that are our lives. And he's inviting us to identify ourselves in these different gears and to see, how are you driving this car that God gave you? What gear have you been using? What level are you living on? Because perhaps, Jesus is saying, in fact, not perhaps, he knows, and he's saying, there's more. There is a different level you can be at, and I want you to see where you are so that I can draw you into what's next. So Jesus lays out these schemas for the crowd that sits across from him. While he's on the boat and they are on the beach, he's peering at them and he's letting them know, God sees you and there is a place where you are, and I want to invite you into the next level. I want to invite you into the higher gear. I want to invite you to shift into the place where God truly wants you to be. We know that the crowds found Jesus' messages very compelling. We know on a Sunday like Palm Sunday that there were crowds that flocked to him. Why? Because they could feel in it reverberating the possibilities of a changed life, the possibilities of the life that they dreamed of the person that they know inside of them to be. They could feel in it the possibilities of being all that they wanted to be. And Jesus, this message was compelling, and people flocked to hear it because they too felt inside of them, oh, there's something more for me. What is this more? What is this next level? What is this higher gear that Jesus is telling us about? What is it like? Well, he says, if you look with me at the text, he says that this next level, this higher gear, this good soil, this thing that God is trying to grow in you, he says it'll be one, sown in the heart. Say it with me. Sown in the heart. Two, it will produce joy. Say joy. And three, it will bear fruit. It'll be sown in the heart. It will produce joy. And it will bear fruit. So this next level that God is trying to get you into as we conclude our series on the shift, this higher gear that God believes is there for each and every one of us, it is sown in the heart, it will produce joy, and it will bear fruit. Okay, so Jesus is saying that it's an inner transformation that will have outer results. We know why the crowds flock to him. We want that. We want to be changed on the inside so that on the outside our lives can be all, and not just that we dream they would be, because we know those dreams shift and change, but all that God knows it can be. We want that. We want to be changed so that our days are laced with joy instead of anxiety, and that our lives bear the fruit that we know that they can bear, that when we close our eyes and dream about who God has called us to be, we want to see, we want what he's saying. We want what he's laying out. We want to accept the invitation, and we want to go where he's asking us to go. We get excited like the crowds. We want what Jesus is inviting us into today, but we often miss the good news in this passage. We want this, and we get frustrated feeling like if I'm not bearing the right fruit, maybe I'm not the right kind of soil. But we often miss the powerful good news that Jesus starts with in this passage. People often don't tattoo this on their arms because they don't realize that this is good news that Jesus is telling us today. And there's very good news contained in it. It passes us by sometimes because we mistake it for the setup. Jesus said right at the beginning of this passage that he said, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds. Repeat that after me. As he sowed, he dropped some seeds. You know, lately I feel in my prayer life, I just feel that God is often telling me and saying back to me as I maybe get frustrated and come to my prayer life feeling like, God, it's not working. God, this isn't going right. I get down on my knees in a bad mood, and I'm telling God, this isn't happening, and that's not happening. And I feel lately in my own prayer life, I feel the Spirit of God saying to me, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. And then I find myself, as people come to talk with me about their own lives and their own frustrations and the things that they feel are not working, I feel, because God has said it to me, I find myself saying back to them, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. When Jesus chose to invite us into the next level for us, the next light, the powerful things that God is doing in our lives, both on the inside and the outside, when Jesus tried to get us excited, get us to see that, yes, this is possible, and he tried to tell us about what God was trying to do in our lives, the person that God is trying to pull us into, the places of power that God wants us to operate in, when Jesus tried to tell us about these things that God is trying to grow in us, he didn't use the metaphor of dynamite. He didn't use the metaphor of a big, fancy building that took decades to build. He said it was like a what? Seed. Like a what? A seed is so small that if you put it in your purse, you will never find it again. A seed is so small that if you hold it in your hand and you're not careful, it will slip through your fingers. A seed is so small that it seems insignificant. He said it was like what? A seed. He said the change that God wants to make in you, the power that God wants to pull out of your life, the inside of the things that God is trying to pull from you, the things God is growing, it will seem so small and insignificant. A seed seems small, but inside there is the power of a giant tree. There is the beauty of a flower. There are powerful things packed inside a seed. This is the metaphor that Jesus uses. What happens to a seed? You put it in the ground. Do you see what happens as it's growing? Do you see as it's becoming the thing that it's going to become, as it's bearing the fruit that it's going to bear? Do you see it while it's happening? What did he say the kingdom was like? A seed. as it's happening, you might not see what is taking place. As it's happening, you might not be able to perceive the power of what God is doing in your life. As it's happening, it might seem just like a slight promotion. You don't realize that this is the beginning of a powerful breakthrough that God is making. As it's happening, it might just seem like one tiny step in your progress toward what you know God is calling you to be. It might seem insignificant as it's happening, but just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. Don't ever doubt the mechanisms of God's move in your life just because it seems insignificant to you. Don't ever doubt that from the tiny seed that is one tiny step towards your dreams or towards who God is making you to be or towards your healing, one tiny step in the process, in the progress that God is calling forth in your life. Don't ever doubt the mechanisms of God's power just because it seems small to you. Ben and Jerry's, they started with a $5 class on ice cream making. Oprah started with a little high school radio job. Jesus and the movement that he began started with four guys, a boat, and a couple of holy fishing nets. Don't ever doubt that what God is doing in your life can be powerful and that it's happening. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. Jesus says a sower went out to sow, and he dropped a tiny seed that grew without anyone seeing it. And after he tells us about the seed that Jesus dropped, he tells us that God's power in our lives will be like that. And then he tells us about the path. He tells us about the different types of ground that we might be, and he starts with this idea of the path. And I wonder if many people in the crowd thought, is that me? Am I the path? Maybe you wonder that too. The path, of course, is hard ground. It's so dense that it's impenetrable, that the things that God is planting in our lives, they just go to the surface. They don't sink through. And when they go to the surface, they sit there, and then what happens? The birds of the air come and snatch it away. I'm sure at this point you can identify with the path people. That you know what it's like to have some things and some elements in your life that snatch away what God is trying to do. Right? Some joy snatchers. Anybody have those in their lives? They're just like birds. They come fast. You feel like you're walking in what God is calling for. You feel like the Sunday got to you, and you feel encouraged and made whole, and you feel good. But man, fast, here come these birds, these joy snatchers. It is not even 9 a.m. You just got to the office. You haven't even switched your shoes from your boots to your heels. And all of a sudden, already someone is coming to snatch away what God had planted in you. And it is not even 3 p.m. and then a text comes through that you had peace. You had peace, but this text comes through to snatch it away. We know what it's like to have some birds that snatch what God is doing in our lives right off of us. Whether it's people, whether it's news, whether it's an app on our phone. Snatches the things that God is. We know what it's like to have some confidence snatchers, feeling like you're walking in power, like you are the beloved of the Most High. And then in one person in their common, and then them not being able to see who you are, one person will come and snatch that confidence right from you. But what Jesus is telling us here today, if you look closely at the text, what Jesus is telling her is that the birds are not the problem. He says it's not the birds that are the problem. The birds will be there. The joy snatchers will be there. That person at your office who can't leave you alone, she will always be there. The stressors in your life, they will be there. The temptation to compare yourself, to kill your confidence, these things that snatch what God is doing, they're going to be there. The birds are not the problem, Jesus says. He says it's the soil that allows it to be snatched from them. It's not the birds, it's not the things that happen that are the problem in our lives. It's not that person at your office. She might just have to stay there. But do you let it steal what God is putting in you? I have a secret to tell you. You will always be busy. There's not going to be a time 6 months from now when things calm down. That doesn't exist unless you make it exist. You will always be busy until at least 15 years after retirement, probably even more. You're always going to be busy. Stress is always going to be there. Things are always going to be there that threaten to snatch what God is doing. But Jesus is saying the problem is not the birds. The problem is, do you let it steal what God has in you? Do you let it take what God has planted in you? If you spent time on your knees in the morning getting what God has for you, then you walk out of the door and the first one who comes and tries to take it away, you let them. Jesus is saying that the birds are not the problem. It's do you let it steal what God is doing? Sometimes we got to go to the next level. We realize, I can't say the stress is doing it to me. No, is my soil so thirsty for what God has put in it that it will not let it go? I'm not going to let you take this from me. You cannot steal what God has planted in my spirit in this season, in my life. And if I'm shifting, I'm going somewhere, I can't let you take me back. You cannot snap my joy. You cannot take my peace. You cannot kill my confidence. You cannot take away the conviction that I am what God says. You can't snatch this from me. Birds are not the problem. It's whether we let it steal what God is doing inside of us. The funny thing about a path, of course, Jesus says it's not the right material for the word to get through, for what God is trying to do to get through. That it's hard, it's impenetrable, it's too dense. Jesus says that this material is not quite right for what God is trying to do. But it struck me as interesting that a path, back then they didn't have asphalt, they didn't have concrete. A path was no more than ground that had been walked on so much that it became hardened. A path was no more than ground, than soil that had been stepped on and so trampled and so beaten down by things in life that it had become hardened. And so when God was trying to move and to speak and to change that soil and to get through, God knows that, yes, even though this path has been beaten down, has been walked on, is no longer the right material at this stage. God knows, no, but this is my child. This is my son. This is my daughter. And even though it's been stepped on and walked on so much that it built up a defense mechanism and it became hard and impenetrable, even though God says, no, I'm still going to drop this seed. Because the path is nothing more than ground that's been through some things. Some of us have been through some things. And we wonder why we're not going to the next level. Well, God is saying, I'm still dropping the seed, but I need to heal you from some of the things you've been through. This path is some place where some of us find ourselves. Some of us can recognize that we are operating in this gear. We are driving our cars in the gear of the path. We've just become hardened by the things that have walked over us in life. But God doesn't give up on us. Still sowing the seed. Then after Jesus tells us about the path, he tells us about the rocky ground. He tells us about this rocky ground, this spirit that has stones in it. And I don't know if you have noticed this about Park Slope, but they are always busting up sidewalks. Have y'all noticed that? Is this just me as a Manhattanite? I'm like, why are y'all always messing with the sidewalks? I feel like they're bored, maybe. I don't know. I mean, if I had a jackhammer and nothing to do, I would bust up a sidewalk too. Sounds fun. So I noticed that they're busting up a sidewalk, and I was like, I wonder why they're doing this. They're always so bored, and then they have these jackhammers, and they just can't help it. So I said, hey, can I borrow your jackhammer? I think it would be fun, too. And he said, no, I'm not sure why. He wouldn't let me, but I said, can you let me just stand here and consider this ground for a little bit? Because as he was busting up the sidewalk and creating the space that was left behind, it was ground that was very rocky. And it reminded me of what Jesus said, that sometimes our ground, the ground that God tries to get through, it's rocky. It's such that we got stones in our spirit. Oh, and this hit me because I saw, it hit me. I know what it's like to look at the ground that is our spirit and to look at it and see there's just rocks in it. Anybody know about those stones that you get in your spirit? These are not the birds that come from the outside and steal the things that God has planted. No, these are the things that reside inside of us. It's not because someone else tried to give you a bad day. It's because of the things that you carry around in your own spirit, some stones in your spirit. And Jesus says, I know you. I see you in the crowd. I know you carry around things in your very spirits that weigh you down and that create these stones and that you feel that you cannot move to the next level, that you cannot do the things that God is calling forth from you, that God is not able to create in you and bring you into this place of a changed heart, joy, and bearing fruit. Why? Because you got stones in your spirit. Stones of depression. No one did it to you. No one stole that joy. You woke up with that stone in your spirit. Stones of anxiety that you've carried around for years. And it's not coming from the outside, but it's within you. And this stone is weighing you down and causing the ground to be rocky. Stones of debilitating fear, stones of self, not loving yourself, stones in our spirit that we walk around with, that we wake up and they're there, we go to bed and they're there, they're inside of us. And Jesus says, I see those stones in your spirit. I want to bring you to the next level, but the stones, anybody know what it's like to have stuff in your spirit that's just so big that God can't get in? There's no room for God to move around because you got stuff in there, stones, rocky ground, making it hard. But the fascinating thing that I discovered, when I looked and I considered this sidewalk that they had busted up with the rocks all in the ground, I looked and I saw that next to the rock, I looked and I saw that right next to those big rocks that they were busting up, right next to it was some good soil. Right next to those rocks that were so chunky and large that it looked like a mess, right next to it was some good, dark, rich New York soil. I noticed, and it hit me, that I wonder if this is what Jesus was talking about, that he said, I know, I see you in that crowd. I see you over there. I know you want to come closer. I know you want the next level of this life for you, but you got some stones in your spirit, some stones of depression, some stones of sadness, some stones of grief for years and years, and they're not there. But and I see those stones, and I can't get through to you with them in there, but I need to let you know that the soil right next to those stones was good soil. Good soil. It's the same soil that makes up the good soil he tells us about later. He says, this is good soil. It's just got some stones in it. And it hit me. You know, the bigger the stone, the easier it is to remove. Little bitty ones, you got to sit there for days and days, and you might even need a garden tool. But if it's a big enough stone, you can go in with the help of the Lord, pick that stone up, take it out of your spirit, and leave what was there before. Jesus is saying, this is good soil. Oh, the stones in our spirit, they don't have to be there forever. This is good soil. It's the same soil. The same soil that got walked on and became a hard path, and the birds are snatching the things away. It's good soil. The same soil that is there and it looks like it's just rocky ground. No. Those stones, they don't have to be there forever. It's good soil. We are made of the right stuff. Somebody say it with me. I am already made of the right stuff. Come on, we got to say that again. I am already made of the right stuff.
The right stuff.
Jesus looking at us in the crowd and saying, I know you were made of good soil. How do I know? Because I made you and I knit you together in your mother's womb. And I know you were made of good stuff and you can go to this next level. Oh, it's the same soil. And of course, he tells us about the thorns. This one we know. Whew. The thorns, the cares of this world. Not outside forces that come in, not necessarily things we carry around with us. No, they're on the surface, but they're our preoccupations. Sometimes we have a hard time getting to the next level because our preoccupations are in the wrong place. The things that we put our thoughts and our emotions behind in the wrong place, whether it's other people's opinions, whether it's success as defined by the world, preoccupations with the wrong things. The soil is good. The soil is the same soil, and this is not stuff in us, but it's stuff that's growing on top of us because we are preoccupied with the wrong things. Spending so much of our time thinking about what other people think of us. Worried about how we compare to the rubric of this world. How do you cut through thorns? With cutting questions. How do you cut through the preoccupations that are preventing you from getting to the next level with cutting questions? Do I really need to care right now about this person who is not able to apprehend the power of what God is doing in my life? Do I really need to be preoccupied with what this person is thinking of me? You can cut that thorn with a question. Or is it vastly more important what God is doing in my life? Does it not matter at all what he or she cannot apprehend about my power? You could just cut that snip with a cutting question. Do I really need to care that, do I need to feel this way or that way because I don't have the letters after my name? Or is it enough that the Lord of the universe knows my name and calls my name every morning, calling me into a deeper life? Is that more important? That is a cutting question. You can cut that preoccupation off. Snip. It's the same soil underneath those thorns. Some of us, we get our preoccupations in the wrong, preoccupied with the wrong things. So the word does not get through. We cannot find that next level that God is calling us to. And you know, I found as I looked at this powerful passage, I found that really us getting to the next level, us embracing what God is doing in our lives, us allowing God to grow what God has in us, it's often a matter of interpretation. Somebody say interpretation.
Interpretation.
It's often a matter of interpretation. What do I mean? Well, you may know that soil is just a fancy word for dirt. You may know that soil is just a nice and a technical way to say dirt. It's just dirt, right? Soil is just dirt. It's all a matter of interpretation, because a lot of times in our lives we feel like the problems, the disappointments, the dirty stuff, the disruptions, the hiccups and the mess ups, the trouble, the insecurities that we have, we feel like this, the stuff that's not going right.
Oh.
We feel like it is an indication that God is not acting in power in our lives, that we are not moving to the next level. A lot of times we feel like the dirt gets in the way, and if it were going right, this wouldn't have happened. If it were going right, if God were really moving in me, if God were really taking me somewhere, if I were really going to the next level, if I were really going somewhere with the Lord, if God were in this, there wouldn't be this dirt. But dirt is not antithetical. The problems and the trouble, the disappointments, the things not going the way you thought, the disruptions, the struggle, it's not antithetical to what God is doing in your life. How do I know? Jesus put it in the parable. He said soil, people put a fancy word on it, but what the man meant was dirt. Dirt is the place where God will grow what's next in you. The trouble of your life. You have disappointments? I know you do. Jesus knew you would too. That's why he put it in the parable. Things not going the way you thought, things not looking the way you thought they would look when you dreamed about God bringing you into what was next for you. I know. Jesus knew too. That's why he put it in the parable. He said, this dirt, it's in the dirt. It's in the disappointments and the disruptions, the things that didn't go right. It's in those things. It's in those things that God will grow what's most powerful in your life. It's in the dirt. It's in the soil. He's saying that it's life is not going to be perfect. You are not waiting for the perfect plot in which to plant the thing that God is drawing out of you. No, it's in the dirt. It's in the things going wrong. It's in the challenges. It's in your life not being what you thought it was going to be. That God can do something above what you expected, thought, imagined, thought. Yes, it's in the dirt that God can do these things that are more powerful than you ever anticipated. It's in the dirt. It's in those things going. It's in the things being shaky. This is why Jesus said, spiritual growth, being transformed on the inside and bearing fruit on the outside, is not a practice in perfection. And God does not wait for the perfect circumstances. In fact, God uses those things that are messy in our lives. God uses what is difficult. You know that if the enemy is not messing with you, that's because you are not a threat to him. Opposition always comes when you operate in power. The enemy is not messing with you. Maybe that's when you are not ready to move to the next level. Maybe Jesus is calling you into something bolder. If the enemy is messing with you, don't feel like that is evidence that God is not operating in your life. No, it's in the dirt that these things will come, that God's most powerful chapter can be birthed in your life. It's in the hiccups, the mess ups, the disappointments, the disruptions, the frustrations that you have. I know you have them. Jesus knew you would have them too, and that's why he put it in the parable. He said, don't be afraid of the dirt. Don't feel like the dirt is evidence that God is not operating in power in your life. Don't feel like the dirt is evidence that God is not active and moving you in you and doing something just because you can't see it. Just because it seems dirty to you does not mean that God is not doing something powerful. It's in the dirt. Soil is just another word for dirt. But you know every garden looks like dirt to us before God begins to grow things. Even the most beautiful gardens, when they started out, we would have said, that's just a pile of dirt. God is growing something in you. God is growing something in you. Just because the soil doesn't feel like it's the right mix for you, no. God says, that is my child, my daughter, my son. That's good soil. Just because the seed seems so small and you can't see the progress, that does not mean it's not happening. God is growing something in you. And just because life gets messy, it has some dirt on it, do not interpret that as a problem. Do not take that as evidence of God's absence. No, that is even more powerful evidence that God is working in you, that you will get to where you are going in God, that the work that God began in you will come to completion, because it's in the dirt. It's in the problems. It's in the pain that God's power can most operate. I wondered about this. I wrestled with this verse, because then we get to the last part, the good soil. Once we snip away the preoccupations that have no business in our mind, once we realize that we are the same soil as the good soil and God is still dropping that seed because God still believes in us, once we get the stones out of our spirit that are not part of us and do not have to be there, and God can truly work in us, then we get to the good soil. And I wondered about this because I truly desire, I don't know if you all do, I desire to move from the crowd and be part of the crew. I desire to go to the next level that God has for me. I desire to let God grow in me what God desires. I want that. I say back to Jesus, yes, take me there. Yes, I want to bear fruit for you. Yes, I want to get to the kingdom. Yes, I want to do those things that bring a smile to your face. Yes, I want to be on your team. Oh, and I wrestled with this because I want that good soil. I want Jesus to be looking me in the eye when he sees me. I pray I'm on the boat. When he says good soil, I want him to look me in the eye and say, that's where you're going to. Because I wrestled with this because in this passage, Jesus says, those who are good soil, they will bear fruit. Isn't that what we want? And I wrestled with this word because I said, Jesus, what does that mean? How do we get there? How do we do what you're asking us to do? How do we bear this fruit? That's what we want in our lives. We want to bear fruit for you. We want our lives to be exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask, think, or imagine, in your name and in your power and for your glory. How, Jesus? Oh, and then he said, look at the word a little bit more, this word bear fruit. So I looked at the word a little bit more, and did you know that the word bear fruit in Greek, it's didymai? And in Greek, this word does not mean a complicated process of photosynthesis where the plant has to do all the work and it has to be a right balance of this and that. No, it doesn't mean a step process where there is effort and thinking and intellect and perfection involved. No, it didn't say all that. This word didymai in the Greek, that means bear fruit. It means to offer. It means to let have. It means to put at the disposal of, just to offer it. Oh, and that blessed my spirit. I don't know if it blesses you the way it blesses me, because then I realize that when I get the stones out of my spirit with his help, and when I snip the thorns that are my preoccupations, and when I realize and understand that I am that good soil, and when I trust the seed as it's working, even though it's small and insignificant, and when I realize that even the most beautiful gardens just look like dirt to the human eye, when I realize all these things, all I have to do is offer the garden to God. All I have to do is say, God, it's yours, you can have it. All I have to do is say, you plant the seed, you give the increase. I don't know how, but if I give it to you, oh, the fruit that we can bear, the shift that we can make, the next level that's waiting for us, it does not depend on your gargantuan effort, on your perfection, on it seeming right to you on the outside. No, all you got to do is offer it to God. God will do the rest. God will do the rest. And God has shown us so many times that when God says God will do it, it gets done. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Those in the house of the Lord who desire to go to the next level with God. Those in the house of the Lord who desire to believe God when God says, I am growing something in you. Those who desire to say yes and to dive in. He's saying today, all you got to do is just offer it to me. I am healing you. I am working on you. I am pulling those stones out. And if you follow me, you can sniff those preoccupations. You can protect yourself from those birds if you follow me. But then after that, all you got to do is offer it. Just give it over to God. And God truly will bear the fruit that we desire. Amen. 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 As we sing this song together, come on, let God take you to the next level today.
Take my